when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Abiding Light Church over here in Manchester, New Hampshire. And this is the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the Abiding Light Church. We want to greet each and every one of you that are tuning in today to this radio broadcast. Today we have with us Brother Rick DeRosier from the Deliverance Bible Institute. He's been a Bible teacher for well over 20 years, an evangelist, pastor. He's been on our radio broadcast before, and we want to thank him for being with us today. And we also have Brother Israel Ochoa. He is an evangelist that preaches around the country, also a Bible teacher. He's ministered the Word of God throughout the United States now for over 20 years, and also has pastored two churches in Tennessee and also one in Arkansas. Brother DeRosier, we want to say thank you for being with us today. Greet the people today, brother.
Thank you, Brother Davis. It's good to be here today to look to the Word of God and find our answers not from our opinion or philosophy or man's ideas, but what saith the Scripture. To look to the Word of God is the final authority.
And we also have evangelist Brother Israel Ochoa, and we want to have him come in on this conversation today, and we thank him for being with us today, Brother Ochoa.
Praise the Lord. I want to say that it's good to be here with you, Pastor Davis. We're looking forward to seeing what the Word of God will teach us today concerning this modern-day church. I know our subject has not been announced yet, but we're going to be dealing with the Laodicean age, and I believe that there is a message for this last day church. We're standing on the threshold of the coming of the Lord, and we indeed need to be ready. We cannot afford to be cold or lukewarm, but the church needs to be ignited one more time with the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Once again, we greet each and every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis. Once again, this is the Walking in the Light radio broadcast that comes to you every Saturday between 3 and 3:30 on WDER Radio. So we want to get into this discussion today, dealing with the church in the book of Revelation, where he speaks to the Laodicean church. In verse 17, he speaks of them, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked." The condition of this church age. And Brother DeRosier, as we open this up, brother, if you could briefly give us an understanding of the churches that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to throughout the book of Revelation, and give a little introduction to those that are listening today, brother, and give them an understanding how this generation and how God is speaking to this church age that we are living in.
There were seven letters in the book of Revelation addressed to seven churches in Asia. The key to interpreting these seven churches is to lay the events of the letter aside, the events of church history, and begin to understand that these are not just letters written to the first century, but also they are prophetic and represent seven distinct periods of church history. Even the meanings of the names of the churches describe an overview of the events that took place in that period. Ephesus, for example, means desirable. It describes the apostolic church, the early church of the day of Pentecost. They were desirable, but yet Jesus said they left their first love. The second church is Smyrna, which comes from myrrh, which means crushed. The pagan heel of Rome crushed the early church with persecution in this persecuted period. But the fires of persecution could not stamp out the revival of God. And that brings us to Pergamos, which means married. The devil changed his tactics from trying to destroy to trying to intermingle with men like Constantine, began to bring in paganism into the church and bring compromise into the church. The church of Thyatira means continual sacrifice. Now, we're not speaking against any particular group today, but facts are facts. And Thyatira means continual sacrifice. And the church of the Dark Ages was controlled by the Roman Catholic Church that took away the light of the gospel from the common man. And the Catholics believe that their host turns into Jesus every week in the celebration of the Mass. Thus, the meaning of continual sacrifice of the Mass. The Reformed Church of Sardis, which means remnant, where men like Martin Luther stood and took a stand against the corruption of the church, and God turned on the light by putting the gospel into the hands of the common people. Philadelphia means brotherly love. The church of revival and missions, the great awakenings, the great outpourings of the Holy Spirit, and the great effort to bring the gospel to the heathen nations. And that brings us to the current period, which we're in today, the church of Laodicea, which means rule or control by the people. And as was already read, Jesus describes this church period as they were saying they're rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. But I say, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, and you're blind, and you're naked. So by looking at these seven churches as a prophetic overview of seven periods in church history, that brings us to the last period of Laodicea, which Jesus described as being lukewarm, not hot, and not cold, and that he would spew them out of his mouth.
Evangelist Ochoa, we thank you for being with us once again today, brother. You have preached the gospel for over 20 years throughout this nation and even some other countries. Brother, as you're an evangelist going into many different churches, what would you say is the condition? You've seen the condition of the churches firsthand. What would you say the overall condition of the church is spiritually in the day and the time that we're living, brother?
I believe that John, in this revelation that Jesus, as he spoke to him, giving him this message to this Laodicean church, gave the most accurate description there is, that they are lukewarm. There's nothing to say that they're completely backslid, neither is there nothing to distinguish the church as being the church of the book of Acts that had the power and the signs and the gifts and coupled with holy lives of purity that were able to sacrifice and give to God all that they had. And so as I look at the church, I understand that when I see even good churches and holiness churches that I've preached for years becoming cold, becoming acceptable of all the things that are going on in the world today, I marvel at the fact that God blesses the church as much as he does. It's a sign of his mercy. Recently preaching in a church that has held a line for years, I realized that they were doing nothing that really I could preach against. I couldn't name sin in their lives. I couldn't. Of course, you could preach a general message and a broad message. But what I realized is that they were going through the motions. They were there to worship, but not with all their heart. They were there to listen, but not with all their heart. They were there to pray, but not with all of their heart. And I begin to weep as I realized that I was seeing a living illustration of a lukewarm church. It has saddened my heart. And if we are not careful, we're going to lose in this last generation the touch of God that has distinguished us as a church.
Brother Ochoa, you are an evangelist and you preach the word of God to many of these churches. And every church age, the Lord spoke, if any man hath an ear to hear, what the Spirit is speaking unto the church. What would you say as God begins to lay messages upon your heart for different revivals and conventions and different types of settings that you preach in across this nation to this lukewarm church? They're not on fire, they're not necessarily cold, but what would you say is the Spirit laying upon your heart to be used as an oracle of God to speak to many of these churches? What do you hear the Spirit speaking to you as you minister and preach in these different churches across the nation, brother?
I feel that almost as a theme, repeatedly, the Holy Ghost lays on me the fact that there must be commitment and sacrifice. The part of a lukewarm church is that they have everything in order, but it really isn't costing them anything. When your Christianity ceases to cost you, it is easy to let the flame die out. As that flame dies, it's not that you're going to walk out the door and become a drunkard or become a drug addict or fall into some false doctrine. You'll probably stay right where you're at, sing the same songs, pray in the same altar, have the same pastor, listen to the same sermons. But for some reason, there's no burning in your heart as the Word of God is preached. And so I feel like the Holy Ghost continually challenges me to bring to the attention of the church the fact that when that church was founded, it was founded on men who sold their lives out for the furtherance of the gospel. The Bible said that when they came and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they were saved on that first day of Pentecost, that those saints came and laid at the apostles' feet the things that they owned, and they gave to every man as he needed. I don't believe that was just simply a story, and I'm not saying that it's a pattern that we as a church have to give everything to the pastor or lay it at the feet of God's man. But I believe God was showing in that first instance of a Holy Ghost baptized life was that there was nothing that they possessed that was as of much value as the power of the Holy Ghost that they were filling in their souls. And so I feel like that we're in a very materialistic age. You can rock a church just by simply preaching on money, which should be God's anyway. But you could feel the Spirit tighten down and folks get uncomfortable. It's just simply because we have become so used to comfort. We have become so used to having everything, even as God said of that Laodicean church, we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. In the physical, that's never been more true. $1 million edifices going up across the country. Greater crowds than we've ever seen. And yet spiritually, we are more bankrupt than we have ever been.
Thank you, Brother Ochoa. Brother Rick, we read here in verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3, and those of you that have just tuned in, this is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast, and we have with us today Evangelist Israel Ochoa, a preacher and minister of the gospel. He's been ministering for over 20 years across the United States, and also Brother Rick DeRocher, a Bible teacher from the Deliverance Bible Institute in Portland, Maine. And Brother Rick, I want to bring you in on this conversation. In regards to verse 14 in Revelation 3, he says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Laodiceans, brother, could you share with us what Laodicea means, Brother DeRocher?
Laodicea means rule or control by the laity. To put it simply, it's rule by the people. It's no longer the church of Jesus Christ. It's the church of popular opinion, the church of the people. People are doing what they want to do and not following the word of God. We talk about mixture. And one of the greatest tools the devil has used today to bring mixture into the church is these new modern versions. They are not just an alternative to the King James Bible. Many of these versions take out the blood. They take out the virgin birth. They alter the deity of Christ, deny very basic principles that are found in the Bible. And when you have mixture, you have a power loss. If you add just a little bit of water to your fuel tank, what do you have? A power loss. Laodicea means rule by the people.
Now, Brother Ochoa, as we go down here to verse 15, and once again, we look here, he says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, but I would that thou wert cold or hot." And he says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm." He identifies their spiritual temperature, their spiritual climate. He says, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. But getting back up to verse 15, Brother Ochoa, he says, I know thy works. Brother, as you've once again ministered all across the country, what do you think has taken place within the last 20, 25 to 30 years with the church and where we are today with 2013? How far have we gotten away from the works that we should be doing and the works of what the church that we are living in right now in 2013 is doing? How far have we drifted away from that being on fire and really blazing and having a heart's desire to go forward and preach the gospel? That seems like the church is doing so many things. They're involved with so many activities, programs, reaching out and doing all things across the world. But are they truly doing the works that the Lord would require of them, Brother Ochoa?
Well, I believe there's a great distinction between God knowing the works of the church of Ephesus, which was the first apostolic church, and God knowing the works of the church of Laodicea. I don't believe that the difference was so much in what they did as in how they were doing them. When you look at that apostolic church, they came out. The Bible said that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they took note that they had been with Jesus. These men functioned not in their own power and in their own wisdom and strength, but they functioned in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm reminded of a story that I read of a Vietnamese Christian who came over from Vietnam and just a few years ago, and he stood in a mega church, and what he meant as a compliment became to me a slap in the face. He stood and he was weeping, and he said, I marvel at how much the American church gets done in their own self without the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, he was meaning that as a compliment, but really he had identified a problem. It was not that Laodicea wasn't doing works, is that they were doing them in their own wisdom and knowledge. I believe there's a great contrast in the scripture about this in the life of David and the life of Solomon. David was a shepherd boy. The Bible does not tell us much about David's education, doesn't tell us if he was a scholar. Obviously, with his artistic ability, that he had a great intelligence about him. But we don't know how crafted that was in schooling and book knowledge, I guess would be the word that I'm looking for. When we think about Solomon, his son, we know that Solomon was extremely intelligent. Being raised in a king's house, he would have had the best teachers. He would have had the best resources available for him to become a wise man. So I don't believe it's a leap for us to say that Solomon was far more educated than David was. As a matter of fact, I believe that when God came to Solomon and said, "What would you have?" I believe it was Solomon's natural hunger to know things that caused him to ask God, as well as a spiritual hunger, to give him wisdom. But in a sense, when God visited Solomon and gave him wisdom and knowledge, Solomon was saying to God, if you will give me the gift, I'll get the work done. You could just put the wisdom on me and I'll get the work done. Now, when I look at the life of David, I find there's some things that are evident. One, David's ministry began with an anointing of the Holy Ghost upon his life. Solomon's kingship begins with God falling in the temple with the Shekinah glory, the sacrifices being made. But we will never again read of an anointing or a visitation of Solomon's life besides this impartation of wisdom. But with David, almost everywhere we turn, David is having a personal encounter with God. And so David is not functioning in his own strength or in his own power, but he's functioning in the power of the Holy Ghost. He's functioning under that anointing of the Spirit. And I believe in this age that we have become victims of functioning in our wisdom and knowledge. God said of that Laodicean church, he said that they would cry out that we are rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. You know what they're saying? We've got money. We have great churches. We have great preaching. We've been told the truths of life. We don't really need to have a move of the Holy Ghost like we had in days of old. But I'm going to tell you that if we're not careful, wisdom and knowledge can lead us down the wrong path. One young youth leader of an organization said, if I had $100 million, I could win the world. That's the same spirit of Solomon. If I just had enough money, just enough knowledge, just enough strategy, I could evangelize the entire world. But listen to me, we will never accomplish anything for God by wisdom alone. The Bible said, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. All the true treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Colossians 2 and 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I believe that was the spirit of David. But Solomon is a great representation of the Laodicean age. The Bible said of Solomon, he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. I mean, he sounds amazing. Sounds like a wise man. But this was Solomon's gospel. 3,000 short sermonettes of practical knowledge and wisdom. He creates new songs, wonderful stories, great applications of truth on human nature and behavior, gives words of wisdom throughout the book of Proverbs. He even tells how to have a good marriage and rear a child. His preaching is concise and to the point. But listen, unless the Spirit of God anoints preaching or teaching, it is nothing more than dead wisdom and knowledge. It takes the anointing of the Holy Ghost to destroy yokes. I believe that Laodicean church never saw they were naked, will never see that they're wretched and miserable and blind, because they are settling for the impartation of knowledge instead of preaching that will destroy the yoke and remove the blinders off of their life. I, for one, believe we need a return. I'm not against wisdom. I believe in learning. I try to educate myself. I've been to Bible school, continue to progress in my relationship and knowledge with God. But if I rely solely on what I know, then I can tell you that I'm going to end up just like Solomon. Solomon delivered an absolutely powerless message. He had no power to practice what he preached. He gave himself to strange women. He raised wicked children, including a devil who succeeded him on the throne. Solomon ended up an anguished idolater, living out his days in a cesspool of immorality. His entire generation became harlot-chasing reprobates in spite of all his wisdom, teaching, and 3,000 proverbs. Now listen, I know that the sinner-friendly Laodicean church has good, insightful, and thoughtful preaching. We have never seen a time when sermons are more concise, when they're more homiletically correct. They center on telling us how to cope with the problems of life. They're mostly about 15 to 20 minutes. They're illustrated with great points, and they're packed with truth. And yet, the divorce rate in the church is still rampant. Even among pastors and preachers, we have them admitting that they are addicted to pornography, committing adultery behind the closed doors of their office on their wives. Fornication has become a common practice among the youth of God's church today. Infidelity are commonplace. We have teenagers that are smoking and drinking and sleeping around. People's lives are not being changed. Why? It is because that Laodicean church has preached with wisdom and knowledge. You may be sitting in a church that has services that are well organized. They may have great music. The choir may be powerful in its ability to sing. The pastor may preach what is right, what is true may come out of his mouth. But unless there is a touch of God that convicts you of sin, you are in danger of becoming like this Laodicean church. Everything Solomon did could be summed up in Ecclesiastes in the phrase that Solomon wrote, "All is vanity and despair." What is it, Solomon? You leaned on wisdom and you leaned on knowledge and you got away from the touch of God. You allowed your life to become lukewarm. I worry for the church of today that if there is not an igniting passion of the Holy Ghost stirring us one more time, that we too are considered by God to be wretched and naked and miserable and blind.
Once again, if those of you that have just tuned in, this is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, and this is the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We want to thank Brother Ochoa, Brother Rick DeRocher for being with us today. And if those of you that have just tuned in, we want to hear from you. If you want to contact us over here at the Abiding Light Church, we're over here at 417 Granite Street in Manchester, New Hampshire. That's on the west side. But you can go to our website at abidinglightchurch.com, and we're going to be posting new messages. And this message and discussion will be up on the website here very soon. You can email us at abidinglightchurch@yahoo.com. Abidinglightchurch@yahoo.com. We're also on the Facebook at abidinglightpentecostalchurch.com. Any comments on there? We have pictures of our involvement in missions and also the church activities. And once again, we want to invite any of you out here locally in the Manchester area or surrounding towns. You just come on out if you don't have a home church. We're over here at 417 Granite Street here on the west side of Manchester. We're not too far from the Dunkin' Donuts over here. We'd love to have you come out. And if you come over here, you're going to hear the Word of God preached to you. We're not into programs. We're not into a bunch of activity. We come here to sing the old-time hymns. We're also here to preach out of the Bible and preach the Word of God. We're not over here telling stories, tickling the ears of people. We want to preach the Word of God to you that you can receive what your spirit needs, which is the bread of life, the Word of God. So we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. Until next Saturday at 3 o'clock, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.
You're going.